Blog Talk Radio.
Magic, call Mr. Magic down a little bit, Robert. How you doing tonight, brother?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty good, man. I was doing the bet. I couldn't take it.
Man. Good, ain't it? What a feeling. That's a great feeling.
I might have exaggerated a little bit. I don't know if I'm going to
thank you. I thank y'all, man, but it sounded good.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Say it again.
I cannot complain. There's misery in the world. There's people who are hungry. There are people who are being the victims of violence. There are people who are suffering mental challenges and all types of abuse. And I'm not experiencing any of that at the moment. But what I am doing, I'm trying to lessen some of those abnormalities among my fellow citizens and members of the human race. Anything I can do. That can abate their suffering and their troubles. Come on.
That sounds wonderful. Hey, Robert, before we go much further, you know today is Elder's birthday.
Munyon's birthday today?
Yes, it is Munyon's birthday. Ladies and gentlemen, Munyon is our brother. Joseph, nickname.
Joe is the He is the senior member of the Brothers for Real.
He's the senior member of the Brothers for Real.
Not the Gateway right. Brothers, but of the Brothers for Real.
The Brothers for Real.
On this show every Wednesday, exactly. 7:00 p.m.
And I'll be very excited, yet surprised, if we hear from him tonight.
Man, where's our happy birthday? We don't have happy birthday on this music lineup.
Yeah, man, we're going to get to it. I'm one of them new. Get this juggle
show.
Oh, yeah,
get some. Oh, okay, you saved me for him.
Yeah. I just talked to him a few minutes ago.
Was he iffy?
Iffy, brother. Iffy is mild.
Yeah, man. Anyway, here, Leon. You feel like you're supposed to get a pass on your birthday. I remember on my birthday, I know Leon don't expect me to show up today on my birthday, but I'm glad I did, because you had some stuff waiting on a brother.
Hey, you straight, boy. You hear me?
You had me hooked up.
I called a brother,
Big
but
the
guy was so available, man, it freaked me out. You don't know the truth about it. Bob just called in. I didn't call him.
Wait a minute now. He didn't know it was the birthday?
No. Well, I think he knew it was your birthday because I kind of said it on the post, but he just called in, man.
Wow. Well, it was a great. So we'll give Joseph some love, too, if he comes in here. Because Joseph is deserving.
Up.
That boy is deserving of all types of accolades.
That's what I wanted to talk to him about, you know, publicly.
I want to save this good stuff so he can hear it. I got some good stuff to say.
I got some good stuff for this joker, man.
but at the same time, I know how it is when it's your birthday, man. People be springing stuff on you and calling you and
wife,
you won't be there
every
time. Got something to drop by your house and
wife is cheering. Yeah, no,
yeah, people just trying to throw stuff at you. And you got, whether you want it or not, like, all right, I got a pecan pie for you. I ain't with no pecan pie, but anyway, bring it on.
Got some soap on a rope for you, you know?
Yeah, some brute aftershave. Ah. We still make brute.
I got some brute at the house, man. Brute by Fabergé.
Oh, no, man. Say it ain't
I don't know how old it is, man. I don't know where it came from.
It's pretty old, I can tell you that. If you have brute. But you know, man,
I have one of those pleather jackets.
Right.
I'm just trying to spray some brute by Fabergé on that pleather jacket. Man, that thing had a big stain came in. I mean, like it almost melted. I know what
you're getting that pleather. That fake leather, man. That pleather.
Yeah, that pleather.
There's about less cow in that jacket than there is in a McDonald's burger.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, man, it's
you ever had one of them Impossible burgers yet? Come on now.
Man, hey, Rob, you are not going to believe this.
No.
I ate an Impossible burger yesterday.
No.
That thing was the bomb. It was delicious.
Was it? I'll tell you what it is, though, Leon.
Okay.
You put enough lettuce and tomatoes and mayonnaise.
Well, that's
and
what it was. That's why I was going with this, Robert. That thing was like eating a vegetable sandwich. It was like, you know, side salad sandwich.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
A little piece of meat in there, kind of. That Impossible meat. It's charcoal broil. It's charbroil. That Impossible piece of meat. So you got that in there, meat in the mix.
Could you taste it, or would you just not even know if you were tasting it or not?
Texture. It tastes like the burger. I mean, really. It's the texture. It's like chewing a... what is it like chewing? It's like chewing a Nerf ball.
Oh,
I don't know how to
explain it. Gotta do better than that, though. You almost had before. You almost had before a minute. I was about to head out the store and get me a burger. I mean, Impossible Burger. Ain't gonna be no Nerf ball, though.
No, I can't describe it. It's good, though.
It sounded like it was indescribably delicious.
It was that particular one. I've had more than one, full disclosure. But that was
where'd you
yesterday.
Get it,
it was like, man.
Where'd you get it? Burger King. Does McDonald's have them?
Not that I'm aware of. But the Impossible Burger
no,
is a trademark of Burger King.
So there's no meat in it?
Mm-mm. I don't know what they made that piece of thing out of now. Don't get me wrong. That pizza thing,
you know,
that looks like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you find out you eat baby eyeballs or something.
I have a sneaky idea it wasn't spinach. I have a sneaky suspicion it wasn't spinach.
Man, you can ground up about anything, man, and make a burger out of it, though. I ain't going to lie. That's why, remember those Vienna sausages? Remember potted meat and Vienna sausages?
Man, yeah. That was a favorite lunch.
Did you? They just clean the floor, and whatever's in that, whatever they scrape up, they squeeze it into a little, shape it into a sausage and put it in a can. Drop some spices in there, and you're good to go.
Oh, man. Come on, let's talk about something else. We have people listening.
Yeah, put down your vein of sausage, y'all. All you listeners, put your vein of, go ahead, we take that back. Vein of sausage are full of nutrition and all things, sugar, spice, and everything nice.
Yeah, man, let's talk about something else. That's getting out. We're getting out of hand. But check this out. Spring is coming. Let's get everybody excited about spring coming. You know, once spring comes, things are thought to blooming. Now, what is blooming? Robert, what is on your schedule to bloom this spring? Do you have a list of things you would like to see bloom?
I'll tell you what I'm working on.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what I'm working on right now.
Yes, sir.
As I go into this, I feel like I'm on the landing strip of my next phase of my life. I've been working so hard putting things in place for this phase. Now, when I say last, I don't mean like I'm about to put the foot in the grave or anything. But at least I hope. What I'm saying is I'm about to cut back some of the work. I'm not going to use the word retirement because that to me means to retire, to do less, or to I'm going to be. If there's such a term as different mint or different phase mint, that doesn't, you know, retirement has connotations that come with it. You start thinking walking around in a wheelchair and a walker and you're going to be lifting around the house playing golf all the time. Well, I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to enter a different phase where I'm going to be focusing on my content that I've developed over all of these years. So I'm going to be curating this content and put it on things like a podcast that I launched this week. And you get that podcast now on Spotify. It's on Apple. It's on Google. It's on iHeartRadio. It's on Spreaker. It's on Anchor. Mm. It's on all these different platforms. And then once I post the podcast, it's going to automatically post it on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. And so those are the kind of things that's blooming for me this spring. And I'm telling you, Leon, it's actually so far it's been exciting, it's fun, and that's going to be my spring project that launches me into this next exciting phase of my life. I plan to go into partial, let me use that word, retirement again. In other words, I'm not going to be this in this mad grind of trying to make a buck and bring in 1,000 clients and build this empire. Well, I mean, it may happen. I may build an empire, but it won't be because I'm trying. It's going to happen because of this new phase. So many things are going to be automated and passive and residual that it's just a different way of looking at life and living where there's going to be a self-actualization. I'm going to be going back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs and say, look, I've covered that first leg of basic necessities. I've covered that next leg of security. I've covered that next leg of consensus and acceptance. When you get into self-actualization, man, that's when you're rolling. You are really doing what you put on this earth to do. And the thing that you have loved the most is not only not satisfying you mentally, but it's also paying the bills. That's what this spring is going to do for me. So I'm looking forward to it.
Man. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine today, Ms. Sheila Ray. Sheila Ray is she's presently with an organization called Therapeutic Alternatives Incorporated. Anyway, they right now they're on a quest to counsel elderly people in as far as mental stress and all that kind of stuff. But while she was here, we started sharing some of the ideas we both have for the we could say the immediate future. And it just got the conversation got so exciting almost simultaneously. We said, man, I just wish I had another life to do all this stuff. You know, this stuff
is
all bringing about. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean, man.
It's like,
well,
man.
See, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
This is what you have to do. That's why you have to stay in your purpose.
Right.
When I say get in your purpose, that means discover early on what you put on this earth to do.
Right.
And that way, we don't have all these second guessings going on as we get into our later years.
Right.
Crying about what we didn't do, what road we didn't take. Because even though that road may not have gotten you there as fast as you wanted it to, it may not have paid you as much money as you felt that it should. It may not have had even much of the excitement that you thought it should have. But the fact that you're on that road, and that road doesn't change when you're on that purpose. When you get into those final years, it really just tends to come together. And so you don't sit there and wish you had another life because you had just one life from the beginning. And that life is going to be the same road all the way to the end. But the problem is most of us don't discover it because society is not set up for us to discover it. Society is set up to take advantage of you and send you off into these different directions because it's helping to make somebody else rich and pursue their purpose while your purposes have been sidelined. You can't let it do that. You can't let that happen. And that's what I try to help people do. So, look, you got to stay on your track, on your purpose, and not so much other people's purpose.
You're exactly right, man. You're exactly right. Because I sit here thinking of the times I spent the times I spent unretired or not, still working. And all the time I could have put in doing what I'm doing right now, because I get so much reward from what I'm doing right now. And I just see the vision of what can happen, and I'm wondering if I have enough time to do it all, It's beautiful vision.
I was working with this company, Diet2Go.
Mm-hmm.
They paid me goo-gobs of money. I would go in the office like one day a week, and they're paying me like six figures. And the rest of the time, I'm just out here just cutting the food. Not eating the food, but not really on my purpose.
Yeah, go ahead and admit it, man. Just cutting the food.
Okay, I'm cutting the food. Okay, but I wasn't doing what I should have been doing.
Right.
I wouldn't do anything that's bad or immoral or illegal or even – I was just doing stuff. I'm buying cars and clothes and not saving money, not investing. That's what I mean when I say I'm cutting the food. And then, after that period ended, it was about 13 years. No matter how much money they paid me, at the end of that period, on reflection, I feel like I blew 13 years because it was off my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, a smarter me, who had a better understanding of finances and planning and all that kind of stuff, whether I was on my purpose or not, I would have done better. But you got to get on that purpose early, and you can't be so easily distracted and sidelined. And I admit, I was taken off my game. And those are 13 years I would never get back. But let me tell you something, Leon. I spent the next 10 years making up for lost time because I realized it. And I think I'm almost at a point now where I feel like I regained much of that ground. But some people never do. They never go back and reflect and say, look, I got off track, and that sounded like what your friend was saying. She wished she had another life.
Right.
But you don't get that second life, but you can try to go back and get back on the life that you should have been on in the first place.
Exactly.
That's like what, that's what
like
you're using.
Like I've been over the past, say, 10 years. Kind of been on the path that I really should have been on in the first place.
Leon, you are my example. You are my example. I think about Brother Curtis. He has not wavered hardly at all. He has been on his righteous path of helping people get out of jail, justice, making sure like the people who need the help the most are getting the most help. So you have to get on that path. And like I said, sometimes the financial wars don't necessarily come when you think they're going to come. But boy, one day you look up, you realize, man, that was a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow that you may not have seen while you out there in the middle of that struggle. You just have to hang on. You just have to hang on.
Yeah, and the, one of the things I have to remember is get into your purpose requires some maturity that you may not have had earlier. That makes sense.
Leon, that makes so much sense, and that's why most of us don't get it until later.
Right.
Because it does require a certain level of maturity. What's that old saying? Youth is wasted on the young. That's a good example when you're talking about your purpose and maturing into your self-actualization.
Right.
Like you say, when you're finally ready for your life to start, you know, going into full cylinders and getting the, you know, putting the metal to the metal, that's when you start saying to yourself, man, now I'm old, I don't have as much energy, I'm sleepy all the time, I'm having health problems.
Man, you eat one Impossible Whopper. Go back to that Impossible Whopper, man. After I ate that sucker now, he had to take 2 hours, you know, of rest.
Bro, let me tell you, man. I'm over here talking. I'm doing a lot of musing and reflecting, but I'm probably the poster boy of what I'm talking about. Yeah, I wish I could have, you know, if that light would have gone on with me 20 years earlier, I would have made a lot of more different. I would have made some different decisions, but don't ever feel like it's too late. That's what I want to leave
that's
for.
The catch right
don't
there.
Ever. I don't care if you're 90 years old. It's
that
never
part.
Too late.
Yes, sir. That part right there. That part right there.
It may,
it's never too late.
It may be.
That joy you get from it when you actually grasp it is worth it. I mean, that moment you get it, no matter how late it is, what you get from it is worth it.
Hey, Leon, check this out.
Amazing feeling.
Remember like the lady said, she wish she had another life. When you
right.
get that, when you hit it at 80, 70, or whatever, it almost like it takes some of those years off your life because now you're such more focused and the
right.
time you spend is so much more directed. It's almost
right.
like you get another second wind.
It's amazing.
That's why
man.
I said it's never too late. It's never too late.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, I want to... Since I brought Sheila Ray up, the reason we were talking today was because she's getting ready to start doing classes here at the Holler Center on the third Thursday of each month at 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
The first one will be next Thursday, March 17th,
right.
here at the center. And the name of the class, well, the class will focus on managing stress. You will be surprised
right.
at the stress that, or you may not be surprised at the stress that older people have on them, especially in this to today's society. Because you have, now, for instance, in Anson County. Anson County is the county in the state of North Carolina where most grandmothers are the guardian of children, grandparents.
Is that right?
The state in North Carolina, in the whole state of North Carolina, Anson County is the community where more grandmothers are guardians.
Get out of here.
Yes, sir. So you can imagine that stress on those grandmothers and grandfathers. Imagine that.
I mean,
you're the guardian of a 5, 6, 7... Then let's shoot up to a high school kid. That's a lot of stress, bro.
Man, and they don't deserve that, man.
They don't need that to be going on, man. They're in their years where they should start relaxing, and there they are being guardians of children.
We gotta do better.
We can do better, and we must do better. Anyway.
Well, Leon, once again, that's why we have this show and other platforms, because so much of what happens in life is about, well, a lot of it's mental. It's about inspiration. It's about seeing examples and really hearing it from somebody who's actually had lived it or living it. So once again, why we have to have control our narrative and our media platforms and have shows like the Brother For Real and the Marketing Pulpit and other, you know, good platforms that are out here that we can, so we can wake up some folks, and so they don't have to have these late life crises when they should be going into retirement and to their final phase of their life, happy, financially secure, definitely without all this stress. But at the same time, when you don't prepare, when you don't prepare or plan in the future, in the past, it's going to come back and hurt you in the future. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
So this will be going on every Thursday at 1 o'clock here at the Hollis Center. It'll be hosted by Ms. Sheila Ray, and she's with the Sand Hills area, North Carolina Geriatric Mental Health Specialty Team. They'll be here at 1 o'clock on Thursdays, the third Thursday of each month. So spread the word. We're going to try to talk some things out, find some ways to cope better with the situations that we're being faced with. Now, the guardianship is just one thing that it can be causing stress on us. And we're also looking for ways to relieve the stress that is put on people who are caring for older adults. That can be a serious stress issue.
God.
Yes, sir.
Man, you're hitting on all of the stresses, boys. Yeah, they call the people in the middle, they call them the sandwich generation, where they're worrying about raising young people, their kids and other folks' kids. Then on the other side, they're dealing with their parents and their mothers, their fathers, sometimes their spouses from marriages and things like that. Man, you talking about some stress. I mean, I see this in some of my clients that come in the door. It's like, why you don't go ahead and retire and take it easy for a while? They say, I can't. It's just too much. I got young people. I got a parent I'm trying to take care of. I'm trying to do this. I got to work 5 or 6 jobs out here doing Lyft and Uber and Instacart. And to add to their stress, instead of making things less stressful, they add these other layers of stress on top of what they already have, just trying to make the financial ends meet. Anyway.
Hey, Robert.
Yes, sir.
Minister Gatewood has joined us on the call. Minister Curtis Gatewood. How you doing tonight, Curtis?
Reverend Curtis Gatewood.
Hey, Leon Gatewood, Robert Gatewood, brothers. How you guys doing?
My brother.
Man,
we good, man.
Good to hear you guys. You guys sound like refreshing voices to the ears of the stressed and oppressed. You guys are refreshing.
Wow.
Great to hear you.
Wow.
I've been listening, and I do want to back up just a little bit. I know you all talked about purpose and age and how a lot of times we find out a little late. And I want to say this especially to the black community and black people. Be very slow to say people are too old to do things. Because exactly the reasons why what Rob and Leon, what you guys are saying about finding yourself late in life, a lot of times, especially in the black communities, our talents are not identified by folk who are rich parents who handed down lots of money to us. We are always, almost every generation, are having to start from scratch. And a lot of times people do not invest in our talents that they see early on. And a lot of times we're finding our talents late in life, or if not that, there was no one to actually invest in those talents early on, and we are pretty much behind the eight ball. But the reason why I say this is so important that we not be a part of the age discriminators, is because a lot of times black folk, either they don't receive the opportunity to get into their purpose early on, they may not have the parents or the financial backing to get into their purpose early on. But a lot of times they do find it, and a lot of times we like to be quick to say people are too old to do certain things. Mm-hmm. And that is why we should not discriminate age-wise, because a lot of times you can have some of the most dedicated, serious people who are getting ready to prime at a late age in the black community. And mm-hmm. when we have that age discrimination mentality like the Westerners or others might have, we block out a lot of wisdom, a lot of talent, some great people who, in fact, could relieve some stress and increase their longevity by being recognized as being as relevant as they are. So a lot of times we do ourselves a big disservice by suggesting by age 65 or 50 or whatever that it's time for our people to go somewhere and sit down. That's a big mistake. And so I hope people are listening to how people can come into their purpose late. And the thing about coming into your purpose, usually when you are in your purpose, you are at the advantage of being better at what you do than a person who's trying to be trained into that purpose. Of course, by being in your purpose, you need that knowledge and training to supplement your purpose. But nobody mm-hmm. can take your purpose away. And you are prepared naturally. But you do need the development and the opportunities. And oftentimes, we're too quick to deny both, especially after people start getting past age 50.
You know what, Curtis, my good buddy Joe Madison, he used this term a lot. People are saying, well, you old now. It's time to pass the torch. And Joe said, look, I'm not passing anything. I would light your torch with my torch, but I'm hanging on to my torch.
Exactly, Robert. And we see this. And see, the thing about it is what's interesting, people are not as quick to rush white men off the stage.
No, they're not.
You know, you see Jesse Helms hung around about 90-something still holding positions of power. You see Donald Trump and Biden and all these people out here running out here, you know, competing. Usually black folk are the ones who rushed off the stage. Even in our leadership within civil rights, people who were supposed to be conscious of making sure we not discriminate along age lines. Of course, we don't want the reverse. You don't want older people feeling insecure and trying to block young people out. But the key is don't discriminate in any direction. Young people, invite them, help them, train them, do whatever they will, let them do what they do. But at the same time, young people, don't get this attitude that somebody's too old for you to listen to. That's a big mistake. I'm noticing a lot of civil rights training seminars. The young people, a lot of times, they have a seminar training for 30 and younger. And then the older people over there somewhere talking to themselves. I'm like, why is it that black folk are segregating against each other? When in fact, the young people need the wisdom and the older people need the energy and the insight that young people might have as a part of being on the front line. But we segregate. Mm-hmm. We self-segregate mm-hmm. when we should be learning from one another.
Check this out.
Man, yeah, I think that means. Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead, Robert.
I was going to say, sometimes I feel like that goes back to slavery, when an old slave, I mean, slave was really, his value was based upon his physical dexterity. And once you're, mm-hmm. once you couldn't go out there and ply that mule or pick that cotton or lift that bale, you were put out the pasture.
Yep.
And
yep.
now it's almost like we are continuing that old way of thinking. Well, you're not big and bulky and robust and you can't throw up a bale of cotton over the crib. What about that wisdom? You don't need to be a strapping buck tell a young folks which way to go, which wrong from right.
Yeah.
We got to check that open, that slave mentality.
Yeah, that you don't have that Rambo look or that cool young physique, and you stand up in front of people. But, you know, a lot of older people, another thing about having older people in that circle, I'm not saying older people need to be the leaders all the time, and I'm not saying young people should be the leaders all the time. But I say that unity, when you speak of diversity, a lot of times people just want to make that race. But there is power in diversity, even in the black community. It's power. And that's why we were so powerful when they made us stick together. They wouldn't let us come on the other side of town. But you got the doctor or someone in the socioeconomic line that's wealthy or middle class living right beside somebody who's struggling, who's poverty stricken. But that diversity is allowing that wealthy or middle class or what bougie person to see his neighbor as that person is struggling. And he can learn from that person, and the struggling person can learn from the person who, and actually can see a role model that's middle class, bougie, or whatever you want to call that person. There is power in that. And the same with age. The people in the village learn from the older people because the older people had experience what the young people are trying to learn. But we cut ourselves short of that knowledge and that experience because we are programmed to self-discriminate and self-segregate.
Hey, brother, let me tell you the biggest lesson that has happened to the Hollis Center here in Morven over the past 2 or 3 weeks. There was a young lady that worked here. Well, a young lady who worked here, name is Bunny Moody. Miss Bunny Moody, well, she's elderly. But Miss Bunny Moody, I call her young because she's a young lady in my mind. Miss Moody worked here years ago as an employee of the American, anyway, it's the AARP Foundation. It's the Senior Community Service Employment Program. And what she did was she enjoyed her working here, but the program was no longer here at the Hollis Center. So she kept calling these people saying, look, I enjoyed working at the Hollis Center. Can y'all send me back down there? So we had actually lost the program. And because of Ms. Moody's insistence, they reintroduced us to the program and not only sent Ms. Moody down here, but three other employees. Now, when I tell you it's the biggest blessing we've had in several years, we have what they call elderly employees down here working. And we have what they call elderly employees down here working. And they have the best work ethic. They're sharing their knowledge with us, man. They are putting it on me, man. I mean, the stuff we just didn't have time to do. I mean, they sit here and they have the patience to sit here and answer the phone. They have the patience to take our old bills and pile them up together. They have the care for the community, care for the young people to sit here and tutor the ones that come in that need tutoring, mentor the ones that need mentoring. This has just been an amazing blessing, guys. I just can't explain how amazing it is. So when we talk about elderly people and what they can bring to the table, I'm a witness. I didn't know we were going to get into this conversation tonight, but I need people to know. There are still opportunities for people 55 years and above. If you're 55 years and above, you're considered, you know, elderly. You know, that's cool. Uh-oh. I hear something.
Amen. But, yeah,
you know what that means.
I hear something.
You know what that means.
I hear something. Curtis, did you know today was Joseph's birthday?
I saw it online somewhere. I think I sent him a happy birthday monument, but there's so many of you guys, man. It's kind of hard to keep up.
All right.
So happy birthday,
all right.
Joseph.
All right, boys. Turn it up, Rob. Turn it up, man. Turn it up.
You may as well play this to about 4 weeks. You got
right.
Daniel. You got Leon. You got Joseph, you got Lillian. that's part of it.
All right, boys, all together.
Today is the Manyan's birthday. Manyan, we were hoping you would call in, man.
I just want to say...
We were depending on you calling in, man. We were depending on
you. To the Manyan. Senior.
Yeah.
For real. This man has been such a trailblazer. He was the first of the second generation of Gatewood in our 14-member family. He was the one that set the path. Set the tone for this second level of brothers, and that is really the reason why we have these brothers on this air tonight, because of Joseph's leadership and example. I want to say, brother, happy birthday to you and for making an example for your younger brothers to follow. We ain't in jail. We didn't go out here and get on drugs. We didn't go out here and go crazy. We followed the example set by our brother, Joseph Kelly Gatewood. Thank you, brother.
Hey, Manya. Hey, Robert, turn the music down. I need to talk to Manya. I need to talk to Manya. Manya, can you hear
yes,
me, Manya?
Yes,
man. I don't want to be talking to you. Can't hear me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, man.
You remember that time? Now, this is the one that stuck close to my heart. Now, you had graduated from college and become a successful. Now, Joseph came down to Livingstone College and took me out. Took me to the grocery store. It was probably Kroger back then, you know. Man, that joker took me out and bought me some sardines and tuna, and all that stuff in the can, and crackers and poking beans. and then probably gave me about, seemed like he gave me about $25 on top of all that, man.
On top of that,
I mean, y'all just don't know what that meant, man. Hey, joker, that just, man. Ugh.
I know what it meant.
I felt like a king for a day.
Oh, man.
Happy
birthday, brother.
I messed around. Those sardines on that second floor of Dollar Hall, man, just were coming in there from all over, New York and everything.
Did you get any crackers to go with it, though?
Yeah, saltines.
All right, then. All right.
They didn't have the little round crackers out back then. I don't think they had the little round crackers out back then. But
them little white, square white crackers.
Yeah. Like they used for, you know, communion in church.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's a good deal, man. I don't remember anything like that. I mean, Joe's a good brother, but you can do that. But, a good brother.
Happy birthday, y'all. I thank you, brothers, and I appreciate y'all for all the love and support you've shown over the years. And not bad, you used to say it, I'm just cool.
Man, you should be.
I feel good.
I feel good.
Go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, I want to do my Joseph story. And I say it a lot. A lot of people know me for my civil rights activity. A lot of people know me. In fact, I probably have a lot of enemies due to my civil rights activity. But I also have found my purpose. And I do credit Joseph with that. In addition to my late brother, Aaron Gatewood. So, Joseph, thank you. I appreciate you, man. I think when I recall, I see him planning a march from Bowman High School because, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if he was one of the ones that were in the fight, but a black student and a white student was in a physical fight together, suspended the black student and did not suspend the white student. It was something like that. And those guys, they organized the march. They basically did a lot of work right there in our living room. And I had the great opportunity of seeing
actually civil rights heroes, activists, young activists. I didn't have to read about it. I could see it with my own eyes. And it made me see my purpose as I saw them. And I know after that time period, we were having to go to the NAACP meeting because I just think Joseph was the president of the youth council NAACP. And Aaron was the vice. And so a lot of times I wanted to be playing basketball like everybody else, but I was sitting in an NAACP meeting. But as I listened, I heard things that stuck to my purpose. And so I do have sincere appreciation for my brother Joseph. And I pray to God that God will continue to bless him with his health, bless him with longevity, the gift of peace, and all that good stuff. Happy birthday, dear brother.
Thank you, Curtis.
Hey, Curtis.
Thank you.
Let me add to that story of Joe's being the civil rights icon at Bowman High School. We were really new into the integration phase of our history, and there was an injustice. There was some a big case of injustice that occurred with Joseph. And Joseph, not one to be sitting on the sidelines, Joseph took matters into his own hands. And because of that, we had one of the biggest walkout demonstrations in the history of Anson County, probably in the state of North Carolina. This was such a lightning rod that it actually went to court. We won the court decision, and the school had to put us all back in school. We were all suspended from school. The school had to put us all back in school and make up for the time that we were out. But that set the tone for moving forward justice for students at Bowman High School in Anson County, North Carolina, around the state and probably around the country, thanks to the actions of Brother Joseph Kelly Gatewood. Once again, brother, thank you. I was there on the front seat of history, and I'm glad I was able to witness.
I forgot my wallet. Can I park this here and go to my car? Okay. Thank you.
Check this out, Robert.
Robert.
Okay. Yes, Robert, Curtis. I told this story at a Black History program on this past Saturday. There was a lady acting as Miss Ada Ford Singleton in the at what they call a little Blacks and Wax Museum, a live Blacks and Wax Museum. And
right,
I told
right.
that very story you just told, Robert. And a lot of people came up to me after the whole, said, man, I was in that march. I was one of the people that marched up to that church, you know, and stuff like that. So that's you're right, man. That was almost better than the sardine, you know?
Yeah.
Almost, huh? Almost.
Yeah.
Oh,
boy. Like I said, I can't match the sardine story, but I can.
You can't, man. You know why you can't, Curtis? Because you were there. You knew what it was like for somebody to take you shopping, man, and get to, hey, Tamika.
Yes.
Tamika.
Hey.
What?
How you doing?
Get up out of here. Happy birthday. Girl, we had a party going on here, Tamika.
Let me tell you this, Robert. Hey. Now, let me tell you something else. I'm gonna say this before Tamika speak. Now, if you want to get ignored by Joseph Kelly Gatewood, let me tell you this. If you want to get ignored by Joseph Kelly Gatewood, try to contact him when Tamika Gatewood is in town. You don't stand a chance.
Yeah. And rightfully so.
That boy loved his daughter. You think Joe's a black just
look,
a little bit?
I'm like, man, what mom? I called Scent when I was Scent. What mom you? Tamika in town.
Well, that's good. Hey, but I do want to say one more thing about that story, though, folks. Please, and this is something we need to do, and Gatewood, we have to do it, too. When we have these stories, if we don't tell them, no one will. And so there are so many people in our history. In fact, I spoke on this the last time I spoke, in fact, on Sunday. There are so many people in our history who did such great work that we don't know, that we don't know about. They have a select few people they put out front in history, some of those who've been validated by the system that they put out front as our heroes. But I'm here to say that we need to do our own research on who did what when, and who were willing to sacrifice themselves at times when it was a critical point in history. Because if we don't do it, trust me, nobody will. So if we have people like that, that we know the difference in our outcome when it comes to justice or how we're perceived as human beings, it's up to us to tell that history. And so we have to make sure to talk about that type of history in Aira and other folk that we know, especially their siblings, because a lot of times if we don't, it will never be told, never be heard.
Amen.
Amen, Kirk. Amen.
I would like to hear from Tamika right now.
Okay,
hey, Tamika.
Hey, hello, hello. First of all, I'm going to say thank you. I'm honored to be a special guest on the show tonight. I want to say that I love each of you, and Dad, I want to wish you a very, very happy birthday. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes,
we do.
Okay. The one thing I want to add to this conversation, it kind of piggybacks what everyone was saying, but especially you, Uncle Curtis, is that you all have stories of my dad, of course, as his brothers, and you can imagine the stories that I have as his daughter, but some of the things that really stand out to me about my father, and I'm not just saying that because he's my father, is that he lives what he preaches. So there are a lot of people that are out here reading and talking and speaking about things, but you don't see that in their day-to-day life. And that's the one thing that I want to say. In all of my years, my dad has lived it. He has taught it to me. He has showed me our history. And I think what's so important is doing the research, like you say, and then also realizing the part that we all play in that history. And as we all have stories, one story that stands out to me is that education, of course, has always been important and something that my dad instilled in me. And in sixth grade, I just remember I was going to school and I had an African-American teacher, older teacher, and I told my dad, I said, I don't like the fact that she refers to us as you people. And I said, there's a boy in the class, William Shatner or something like that, something like that. And I said, Dad, she's always calling him out but speaking down to everyone else in the class, especially the black students. So my father, God bless him, got a notebook that afternoon, and he sat me down at the table. I'll never forget. He said, well, tell me some of the things that she said. So I told him all of the different things and the negative comments and stuff, and the next day he put me on the bus, and before I could get there, he was there in the principal's office talking to her about what was going on in that classroom, addressing it. You know, for me and for other African-American students that were there. And when I told him, I went home and I said, Dad, why'd you do that? And I'm in trouble now. I used to sit in the very front of the class, and now my seat is in the back with the bad kids. I bet you the very next day he put me on the bus, and before I could get there, he was back at school again. So I just want to say, Dad, I love you. You have been a wonderful example for me in so many different ways, especially as it relates to me being a proud black woman. And a lot of that is because of the things that you have instilled in me.
Amen.
So I just
want to
say, I love you and happy birthday.
Thank you, babe.
Amen. Joseph, I do want to say one more thing. That's well. When you have a daughter that will say that, when you have children and people that we are responsible for serving as that model that will say that, that's well. Okay? We can talk about money all we want. We can talk about materialism. But when you have someone that you are trying to raise who will say that, that is well. And I thought about what she was saying. I thought about my daddy, too. And I was thinking that's Reverend Gatewood, because I can remember some instances where Dad would be waiting on the bus to stop, where Dad would get on the bus and make some corrections if we had a story like that. So to God be the glory.
And you know what, Curtis? Wow. Especially when you when you mentioned that, thank you so much, Tamika. I love you, baby. And Tamika, all my brothers, I love all of you all. But one thing I've always said about Tamika, she has been as close to the perfect child as you can, a person can have.
Amen. Amen.
I can't. I don't know. I have a relationship in the of their daughters, but the relationship that Tamika and I have is sometimes I just, even if you're not around, I just get emotional thinking about how wonderful it is to have for my daughter. She's been a motivator to me. And I'm going to tell you a story about Tamika. When Tamika was in the first grade, her teacher, you know, Joanne Little was Tamika's first grade teacher. And that she went and told Tamika, she said, Tamika, you think you can get your daddy to help you with your homework? And Tamika, Joanne said, that little girl, Tamika looked at her and told her, she said, my daddy can do anything. And every time I get hit with a challenge, I still think about what Tamika told the teacher, her daddy can do anything. And that's what motivates me even to this day, think about this. My little girl, Tamika, had that much confidence in me that I can do anything. And so I don't see any obstacle too great that I can't challenge it or try to overcome it just because of the confidence she has in me.
All right, guys. I have another story. Now,
okay.
I remember during my freshman year in college, I was out there at a little party. And when the party was over, I was walking this young lady back to her car, one I just met for the first time. And in the midst of this, apparently some gang of guys, they didn't really take too kindly of my action. So what they decided to do was to politely stomp me in the ground, really beat the living you-know-what out of me. And I had to go to the hospital that night. And so, of course, I'm saying to myself, that's a horrible thing. And I was pretty much about to let it go. It was over the holiday. I think it was a Christmas holiday. I'm laying back in the bed. I feel my lips still swollen up. I had a knot on my head. And this guy walks in the room. I mean, I'll never forget. He had a hat on, a leather coat, stood over the bed. He said, Robert, get out the bed. I said, what's up? He said, let's go. I'm like, where are we going, man? Where are we going? Pretty much said, look, nobody's going to beat up my little brother and not have to atone for it. So Joseph gathered up me, Leroy, Brother Aaron, and myself, and we went off to Salisbury. Now, I'm not going to tell you how the story ended, but it was a good ending. But bottom line was, don't mess with Joseph Gatewood's family, okay? I hear it from Tamika. I hear it from Curtis. I hear it from Leon. It's universal. Do not mess with Joseph Gatewood's family. You're gonna hear from Joseph Gatewood. Bottom line. Thank you again, brother. I would never forget that. I did not expect it. I thought it was over. I was ready to let it go. But Joseph said, this would not stand. Thank you, brother. Love you. Love you.
Love you, man. Appreciate you. Appreciate you.
I said so many stories I could go on all night. I just let you know, man, you really made an impact. And you still do. It's not, you're not history. You are making history even as we speak. Your business, what you've done for the family, the role model you've been. I can sit here and go on all night. So I'm gonna let somebody else talk for a minute.
Hey Joseph, hey Cecil.
Yes.
I think we got JC Gatewood on the line, man.
Get out of here.
JC. Big JC on the line, man. Is that crazy or
yes,
what? Please,
man. JC on the line.
Jesus, we're around here wishing Joseph a happy birthday, man. As you know, today is his birthday.
Yes, today is his birthday. I've talked to him. I've texted him. But I want to wish him a happy birthday again. And we all can have stories on how Joseph has made a difference for the family and how he made contributions. But I want to say I remember when I first started selling insurance, and I didn't have no driver's license.
Oh, man.
And Joseph Gatewood was the one who chauffeured for me during the time I didn't have no driver's license. I mean, he would drive the school bus, and then after he would get off the school bus route, I'd be there waiting on him to take me around to collect my insurance route and sell or do whatever I had to do. And
hey,
so,
the default answer to my question I'm getting ready to ask is talk about something else. Why you didn't have no driving license?
Okay. The reason why I didn't have no driver's license is
inquiring minds want to know.
When I got out of the Army,
yeah, you better bring that in.
My daddy took me over to Commercial Credit in Rockingham, and he helped me get me a car. Red and black 69 Ford, and it had
I remember that.
And it had 120 on the on how fast it would go. What do you call that? The speedometer.
The speedometer, the odometer, the speedometer. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
And since it had 120 on there, every time I got out there, I felt like that's what I was supposed to do.
Why else would they put it on there, right? Why would they put it on there?
and of course, it wasn't long before a policeman stopped me and told me, no, this is not what you're supposed to do. And they stopped me and they said, well, you can't have driver's license since you are driving at that kind of speed. So, Leon, that's why I didn't have driver's license.
And you know what, Anthony? Now I appreciate that, man, because you were one of the coolest jokers on the strip, man. You had that cherry bomb muffler on that thing, man. That thing,
yeah.
You a cool dude, boy. I ain't gonna lie, man. You brothers have been an inspiration to me. I'm gonna just tell you in all kinds of ways.
Mm. Yeah. So, but you all have. But I was just saying, like Joseph, when I was starting out, you know. And because of his help was probably the reason why I was able to stay in the insurance business. Because, you know, you can't run insurance route without driving license if you didn't have somebody to drive for you.
Right.
And that somebody was Joseph. Thank you, Joseph.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that story. Yeah,
huh?
That story, I think. Can y'all hear me?
Yes,
yes, sir.
Let's get into that story as well. Evidently, Joseph was taking notes while he was taking you on that route regarding sales and so on and so forth, because Joseph ended up becoming a number one independent life insurance agent. I remember seeing that picture, very young Joseph, on this beautiful picture that I've always been inspired by, saying if you want the number one agent to call you, call Joseph K. Gatewood.
You're exactly right. So later on, after Joseph grew up, went off to school, and he worked other jobs, but he did end up working with the same company I was working with at the same office. Okay?
Amen.
And Joseph and I worked together. In fact, but that's somehow God works and how things turn around, right? So this same person who was responsible for keeping me in the insurance business, he came back and we started working together, and I was his staff man, and we went out and trained and worked together, and he became the number one agent in the office.
Amen.
You're some bad boy.
Hey,
don't forget that part of their history.
Huh? Hey, Steve.
Yes.
Do you have a poem for us, brother? Do you have a poem about Joe? I mean, that might be for the next one.
Well,
I know you're coming up pretty fast, though.
Well, wait a minute. I have a poem, and since we have some other brothers with birthdays in March, and all of my brothers, I would like to just say the poem that I have some brothers. How would that be?
All right, man. Let's do this. Let me hear this one.
Okay. In this life of ups and downs and troubles that we face, We sometimes look for solitude but just can't find a place. And that's when I really need someone whose love is like none other. And that's why I say as I pray each day, thank God I have some brothers.
Stop right now.
Sisters dearly, and I'm sure they love me too. And in times of trouble, I know they'll be there to come to my rescue. But this life is not getting easier. Instead, it keeps getting tougher. So in times like these, I am so pleased to know I have some brothers. Sometimes I sit and wonder how life for me will end, and I want someone to talk to, and I really need a friend. Now, there are some things you just couldn't tell your father or your mother, but then it feels so good to be understood, like when I talk to my brothers. It seems we're always searching. I'm going to say that again then. It seems we're always searching, not knowing what we'll find. But sometimes what we're searching for are the things we've left behind. So when I need a friend, I don't have to go any further. Because when I'm in need, they're always there. My friends are in my brothers. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.
God, that is good to support you.
That was it, and I'm not just saying that because I'm a brother,
but that's some beautiful stuff.
That was beautiful.
Hey, and it's heartfelt, and for all you brothers on the line, for the ones that's not on the line, those that are gone, have gone on or whatever, that was my inspiration to write that. Because
man,
I have for my brothers and the love I know they have for me.
Lord,
amen. I'm just going to say, Cecil, Ditto, D-I-T-T-O.
Man, that is big. Thank you, JC, man. That put the cream on the cake.
Huh?
That was beautiful, man. Thank you, God.
The cream on the birthday cake.
Hey, Joseph.
Yo.
Yo. Manion, let me tell you something.
Yes, sir.
Real talk here, though. I will never forget those poking beans and sardines.
Poking beans and sardines. Okay.
Well,
it was just special, man. He came all the way over there. He just came out and took me out shopping, man. I'll never forget that. I just can't.
Yeah,
We ought to give the last word to the guest of honor. I mean, not the guest of honor, but the man of honor, man of the hour.
Man of the hour here.
Brother Joseph Gatewood.
Oh, Joseph Gay, okay. And then once he speaks, are we all going to sing?
No.
We're
all going
to
go.
Let Stevie Wonder take us out.
We're not going to have, you're going to have Stevie Wonder take us out.
I want y'all to sing when I finish singing what I'm going to say. All
right, then. We'll sing. Yes.
All right.
Don't you sing with us.
I'm not going to sing. But I thank all of you all for all your kind words, all my brothers and my daughter. And I would like to say, all of you all have been an inspiration to me, and I appreciate the love you all have shown to me, and of course, and I think all the love that we have for one another comes from the fact that we had a loving mother and a loving father, and the love that they've shown us, the love that they learned through the love from Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And I just want to thank you, brothers. I love you all, and you all have been a great inspiration to me. And there's one thing I learned about life is that everybody in your life, you need them. And I do know that every one of you all, I've always needed you all, and I know I need you as long as I'm on this earth. And I thank you all for everything that you, the kind words, and all the ways contributed to me over the years. And I appreciate you.
Amen.
I'm not gonna cry.
Tito,
give me some
kisses,
Tito.
Tito.
Amen.
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 Now y'all go ahead. I want to hear y'all sing. I want to hear y'all.
Now you know when we
go ahead.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
We need some practice.
Yeah, we need to work on that. But anyway, we all got the message. We happy birthday to Joseph.
Yeah, thank you, and y'all.
And Joseph, thanks again, Joseph, for everything you did for our parents during their final. You made their final days and years so much more pleasant and pleasurable, and the contribution you made will never be forgotten. Thank you again, even for that. For so many ways, to thank you for what you have done.
Thank you, brother.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back next week with a brand new show. Thank you, Monty, and God bless you, man. We love you, brother.
Amen.
That was great.
Love you, Tamika.
Thank you, Tamika.
Love you. Go back to the shopping grocery store now.
All right.
Great hearing you, Tamika. Music to all you. Man, mix in my engagement song, man. Mix in the
We got a new house in here, Leon.
Let's see.
Okay, man.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. Let's see. I thought I had it in here. Could not have a day that
would. He said, aside for a game, we'll probably have a hit.
Oh,
Hey, are we still on the air? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. And we said yeah, good night.
Yeah.
Talking to a young homeless man.
Okay.
I said, would you like to come to church with me? His response was, no. People would laugh at me. I have them nice suits, these shoes are worn out. But I said, young man, come to God. He will accept you as you are. You don't need brothers. Even if you don't have shoes on your feet, he'll take you in. He's able. He's able. Come on in. Just put some love in your heart. So come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Tell
us get away, brother. Come on.
Shoes are used, but I'm spreading the news. God got my back, so I can't lose.
Please, 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 come on.
Now in my father's house, there's many mansions. Oh, yeah. You don't have to worry about what you're driving.
You can have a
home. How many of y'all know that you can walk around with no shoes on your feet, and God will take you in? Come on. That the only thing that brought you through was the love of Jesus. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Yes, come as you are. You don't need a new house.
All right now. Come as you are.
Come as you are. Amen.
Amen.
All right, brother. All right, I'm out of here. Thanks again. God bless all you brothers. Happy birthday again, Joseph. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful day.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
All right, brother.
All right. Hey. Good night, brothers.
God bless you.
Y'all,
have a good night, man.
And y'all keep it real.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Keep it real.
There
that's
you
right.
go.
Only way to
keep
right,
it real.
Don't lock it down, Leon.
Yes, sir. We out of here.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
You
good
all.
Night, everybody. God bless you.